Where do you think radio is going in this era? I've been a loyal satellite radio listener for, you know, more than a decade. But at the same time, I like to hear what's on the air. And too, with cars having Bluetooth so easy, where it in some cases is easier to start something streaming through your phone and it's much more specialized. I tend to think, and NPR, there are public radio channels on satellite radio that are running almost every program that we run here on KUAR. The only ones they don't have are Morning Edition and All Things Considered, but the other big popular ones, especially Fresh Air, they are there. So I've looked at it as news director. I think that you have to give local content a reason for people to want to tune into the local station. But where do you think radio is going? Do you think it's going to more and more, maybe radio stations will become content producers and people have different ways of getting it? Or where do you see radio in, say, even 10 years?
I hope that what happens is that this huge overlord of corporate ownership, if it's going to stay intact, which I think it will finally realize that the real profits to be made in radio are in the big, big markets, and that perhaps corporate ownership of radio stations will slowly become kind of top 25 markets only. Spend all their money on the talent for those markets, spend all their marketing money on those kinds of markets, and have maybe top 25 only is too big a wish, top 50, let's say. And have markets under that. Little Rock, for people who don't know, is about the 80th market in the country, 82nd, I think. Have all of those radio stations go back to individual owners. Have them go back to local owners with the idea that as an advertising medium, we still have the power to help local business, to help communities do profitable commerce. It doesn't have to all be online. Most of it is now, and that's why you see brick and mortars taking nosedives all the time. Sears, JCPenney, all the Kmart, all the what were mainstays of American commerce, they just can't compete with online. But I'd love to be able to see something like that happen. I have all power to corporate radio. When deregulation took place and the opportunity to own hundreds and hundreds of radio stations under the same ownership mantle came about, why wouldn't they do it? Of course they're going to do it. And so they did. And sure, there's been a lot of bumps along the way and a lot of disgruntled older broadcasters who say, oh, it's not like it used to be. You know, it used to be local and all the rest of it. Man, all that's true. But it's not going to go away. I don't think commercial FM radio stations are going to go away. You bring up a really smart point about local radio stations becoming content producers of a local nature. I think there's a place for radio music formatted radio stations to not be as concerned with the idea that you've got to keep announcer breaks short and jam as much music into an hour as you can. Go ahead and take the time it takes to create some content about an artist or about a genre of music that happens in between the songs. Have relatable personalities talking to people who are living the exact same life that we're living in Little Rock, Arkansas, and Central Arkansas, and be able to talk about the entertainment the way everybody consumes it, the way we think about artists. There's no reason that a radio station in Little Rock has to sound exactly like a radio station in Portland or exactly like a radio station in Richmond. And that's where we are now, you know, among corporate ownership. The music that we're playing at any given time is pretty much the same music that formatic radio station in iHeartMedia's ownership is going to be playing in Houston and Phoenix and Fargo. And those are all different cities. Mm-hmm. They're all different cultures, different communities. And I think if we get back to a little bit of local ownership, you could reflect that a little bit more more accurately.
Yeah, I spoke there's a podcasting class here on campus, and I spoke to the class, and the last thing I thought was, you know, you can now, you don't necessarily have to have a signal, but you can just produce, even with your phone at a good quality setting, you can produce anything you want, and you can put it out there, and even if it's a real niche audience, you can potentially find like-minded people. And it's just everything, it's just such a different era, yeah. And just a different way. And not only radio, obviously, you know, television is the same and online, but everything is just changing. And it's just an interesting potential, you know, especially with young creative people, kids today. It's just very different.
One of the things that I love about the president of iHeartMedia, his name is Bob Pittman, same guy who was behind the development of MTV, is that he is unabashedly aggressive about bringing into the iHeartMedia fold any kind of audio content. Streaming services, buy them. Bring them in. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Buy one that's already successful. Because this iHeartMedia is a huge radio station. A company, podcasting, bring them in, encourage our existing talent to create podcasts. Just like you said, anybody can. My wife's becoming a professional genealogist for her second career in her life. Hmm. And we listen all the time when we're in the car to genealogy podcasts, which I guarantee you are being done by individual professional genealogists at their home. You know, they have a home studio that they've built up and they're doing it. And the quality is good. The content, which is interesting to me, but it's useful to her. I mean, you could do that about anything. And you're exactly right. And that's one thing I love about the leadership of iHeartMedia is that they understand FM commercial radio stations are not the only thing for audio content. And we have to bring into the fold everything that people are using as entertainment and input in their daily lives. And that's what he does.
Yeah. A final thing too. I like that iHeart has, it makes full use of the HD channels.
Yes.
I wrote a business story for the Miami Herald back 2008 when I first noticed, because my station gave all the staff, it was an NPR station, WLRN, but once they went HD and had a couple of channels, I started listening to what were on the other stations. And it's interesting to me when I go into different markets, or here about a year ago, I went to a public radio news directors conference back in Miami and listening to what were on the different HD3s. And I found the station I worked for in the late 90s, WIOD, an AM station, was on the HD3 for Big 105.9.
Wow.
So I just like, and it's very diverse, and it's sort of like the HD formats are kind of like the FMs. The corporate people, you know, they're aware of them, but it still seems a little more free form, or they'll just put stuff on there and not overthink it.
I would love, there's so many things about the way you and I and any professional broadcaster thinks about radio that is completely detached from the way the first person I'll come into contact with when I leave this studio, whoever that might be, let's say I've got to get gas, whoever's working at the gas station or whatever, the general public thinks about it in ways that you and I will never be able to relate to anymore because we're too close. I'd love to know what the general population thinks about HD. Are they aware of it? Mm-hmm. Do they know that you do need a different receiver? Do they hear us casually refer to it? And if it doesn't make sense to them, do they care?
Yeah.
Do they want to investigate what it is?
Or do they stumble onto it when they buy a new car and suddenly it's got an FM HD radio and they're like, what are these other channels? Or do they even go through there and randomly try different frequencies?
One of my favorite things to do when I rent a car, and our children live on both coasts and our grandchildren, so we do a lot of car rentals when we visit, is to see what are the presets in that car? Who had this car before I did? What were they listening to? And what's available in this city? I know you do the same thing because radio is one of our passions. But I just would love to be able to do some kind of, or you and I wouldn't be able to do it because people know who we are, but have a skilled moderator, have a focus group of people, and find out what their thoughts are about radio. Because we'll never think about it the way they do. We'll never listen to it the way they do anymore. Those days are gone for us. You know, it ended for you in second grade when your dad took you up to KQ94. From that point on, you began listening to radio differently. Mine happened the first time I ever saw a radio station in DeKalb, Illinois. I just thought, oh my gosh. And from that point on, I thought about it differently. But I would just love to be, it's the same as my, this is going to sound ridiculous, but it's the same as one of my pipe dreams. Before I die, I hope we are able to figure out what dogs think. Yeah. I want somebody to get some scientific way to get actual verbal representation of what's going through my dog's head. I know that's not going to happen, but at the same time, I would love to be able to find out what people really, really think about radio. I know the importance in their lives. It's probably gone down a little bit, but not NPR. I really, really think that you may be at the one kind of radio that is in a growth pattern as opposed to staying steady and trying to maintain and learn all the different ways that we can make our radio stations important in people's lives.
Yeah, I think part of that is the decline of commercial news talk stations. More and more they are partisan and they don't have big news rooms anymore. Not to talk trash about anyone, but yeah, I spent 3.5 years at KARN between 93 and 97. Huge news department, would be out covering stories, but it was locally owned then by Ted Snyder, and now I haven't seen a KARN reporter on the street at a news event in maybe 8 or 9 years.
That's right. The staff has been slashed. It's gone.
I think part of it was for Ted Snyder, whether or not the local news was profitable. I think he had a reputation to uphold as a community leader and as a member of Kiwanis Club or whatever it was. I ran into Mr. Snyder here about 4 years ago at Ron Breeding's funeral, yes. Late news director, and it was really sweet to see him at the funeral, talk to him a little bit. But when you had a local owner who had a stake and a reputation, and now with news stations, you know, news, it's one of the most expensive formats because it takes so many people. But that's my little diatribe. I think that's what's helped NPR is you don't have as much local news coverage on the radio as you used to, and you don't have mainstream coverage necessarily. Both sides, you don't have equal time.
Ron would be very proud of what you've continued here, because not all local NPR affiliates do with local coverage what you all do here. This is a very, very good news organization. You take it seriously. Your writers are good. The presentation is good. You're among NPR quality broadcasts round the clock and match up perfectly. It's really a pleasure to be in a city that has an NPR affiliate that local coverage is just as good as the network offerings.
You're very nice, very kind to say that. That's the key thing with NPR is that you don't want to sound drastically different when they give the cutaway and we come in with the local news. And I've been at stations that have been.
Oh, yeah. So I've heard them. I listen to the affiliate in every city we visit, and you're exactly right. They're not all as good as this one. One of my claims to fame with NPR is when All Things Considered first got started, I was a student at SIU and actually had a small vignette air on one of the All Things Considered's first year broadcast. They always had little human interest elements, and I produced a piece about the Murfreesboro Apple Festival in Southern Illinois, and I heard how they did their pieces, and I had a station manager that helped me construct it. And to this day, that approach of audio that is background audio, sounds from the place.
Yeah, Nat sound.
Nat sound.
Yeah.
and individuals talking to you interspersed with your narration of the piece. It was about 2.5 minutes long, and I'll never forget getting told that they were going to air it, and everybody at the radio station gathering around and listening to it.
Yeah.
Still remember that.
Anytime, you know, you get the opportunity to be on the network, for us too, when big news happens here or if you push a story, it's the greatest feeling to know you're on all the other NPR stations simultaneously and get people in Miami still working there telling me they heard it. I aggressively pushed. It took months of pitching them over and over the story of the restoration of Johnny Cash's boyhood home up in Dyess. And the arts editor was like, well, so it's a home that a famous person once lived in. So what? And having to make the argument, oh, but this was a New Deal colony and 500 families chosen and each family got 40 acres and a mule and an outhouse. And then when I finally, after aggressively doing it and then producing it and talking to the family, all that, to have a 6-minute piece on Weekend Edition.
Wow.
And I've had other bigger stories, but that's still the one that sticks with me more than any other.
It gives me a big thrill every time there is a large news item that happens here. And unfortunately, usually it's a tragic thing, like the shooting at the nightclub downtown that took place a year ago. When I hear that NPR anchor say, you know, Michael Hiblin from member station KUAR in Little Rock, or whoever it is that's doing the story, I love it. I feel such pride for you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Any other story? One final thought? Anything else from your career in radio, it sticks out?
You know, I think the real pleasure, I got to have lunch with Kelly Bass not long ago. Kelly was a journalist with the Gazette and then with the Democrat Gazette, a music journalist, and has gone on to do wonderful things with the Museum of Discovery and with Axiom in his career. And we hadn't touched base for a long time. One of the things we used to do, and we did this for 2 or 3 years, I guess, we would take Friday afternoons from 1 till 2 and invite Kelly up, and we would look at what was happening musically for the next couple of weeks in the city. And we'd play the music of people who were coming to town and, you know, review things that took place later on. And it was the most organic hour of radio that I can remember producing on a regular basis. And he was so good at it, and I was so comfortable with him and vice versa that that's the kind of thing. Maybe that's a way to reflect back to when you asked me, where do I see radio going? There's no reason in the world you can't have that on a regular basis on a local radio station. And that kind of compelling content being produced by people who really care about their audience and about their city. I think there's a place for that. It may not be tomorrow. It may not be until maybe the other thing comes true, and that is corporate radio decides the real profit centers are in the top 50. Let's sell off all those stations that are under the top 50 and have local ownership back. I hope that happens. I hope it happens sometime where I can listen to it and enjoy it.
Well, you clearly love radio. Any retirement plans, or are you sticking with it?
Yeah, I'm sticking with it. I feel lucky that since I don't have a show on a station among the four iHeartRadio stations, I feel really fortunate that what I contribute on a daily or weekly basis is still of value to them. I produce a ton of commercials every week, I'll tell you that. Uh-huh. And I do all the legal filings for the cluster, and I do all the public affairs for all four stations. And it's a big workload, and I enjoy it. And I've always been an organized person, so I think that helps them. It helps in what I bring to the table for them, that things don't slip through the cracks. And these are important things. Legal filings for broadcast licenses in America, that's important. Yeah. And, you know, if you don't have an organized person in charge of that, you can be in trouble. And I am an organized person. So, no, I don't have any plans to hang it up. I'd like to do it as long as I can.
Great. Tom Wood, thank you very much for your time and sharing your thoughts and opinions.
Really a pleasure. Thanks, Michael.